Hi, listeners. I'll be honest, I say I'm excited about every guest every week because truly I cannot believe that I get to do this. Interviewing cast members from my favorite reality TV show is a dream that I want to keep doing. So if you like this podcast, please rate and review and subscribe wherever you're listening. It really helps so much. This week's guest is thoughtful, thought-provoking, and funnier than he thinks. Kyland is here and he talks all about his life before Big Brother, explains some of the thinking during his game, and talks a little bit about Thailand, the duo or the country. You'll have to listen to find out. A little disclaimer, we met up in person and those are a little tricky because as soon as the guest arrives, we basically jump right into conversation. So the beginning just sort of starts. We were just really excited to get chatting. So here is my interview with Kyland Young.
The house since I got out. It was weird.
Really? Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's gotta be so strange.
Yeah. It's
wow. Yeah, well, you've had like a really crazy like couple weeks, I feel like, just like traveling.
Yes.
And
yeah, exactly. It's the most travel for sure. Yeah. Yeah, it's just been that's what I was just telling Austin. Was just like, nice shoes.
Thank you.
It's like navigating the world, like the whirlwind of everything that comes after from just so many things. And now it's just like, oh, what my, and now I kind of am starting to get like a path of like, okay, I think I'm going to move in this direction.
Yeah.
And then realizing, oh wait, most of those things I don't know how to do.
Mm.
So I also have to, so now even though I picked a direction, it's like, oh yeah, now I'm going to be, you know, parasailer. It's just like, cool. Now that I know that, it's like, oh wait, but first I should probably learn how to like parasail.
Yeah. No, that's crazy. And I feel like, yeah, that is like an interesting, like you have so many options
mm-hmm.
that it's like maybe a little overwhelming.
I think it's that. And I think it's also like, it would probably help me to figure out like a home base or something, but then I haven't, it's mm-hmm. all been weird because I think like I could have gone to my parents in Pomona, but then I couldn't because my sister's there because their place that they're moving into isn't ready yet. So then, I have like a suitcase there that's behind their couch. I have like a suitcase at my friend Tara's house. I have a suitcase at my friend Brett's house in Orange County. And then I have a suitcase in the car that I'm borrowing from my mom.
So I was listening to another interview you did. So you were living in Venice.
Yes.
And then you did the show, so you were like, I'm not going to re-sign my lease.
Yeah,
kind of nomad. And now you're in this, like, transitional.
And it's also like, I don't even want to sign something because I don't know where I'm going to be.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'll probably be based here no matter what because I love LA, but it's just like, there's so many, you know, I've met Elena from season 19 and she's like, hey, like, if you want me to help you, like, launch your social and podcast stuff, like, and you just want to come stay here for like 2 weeks, you can.
We love Elena.
Oh, me too.
I am obsessed. I interviewed her and we talked for 2.5 hours.
Oh my
and it
gosh.
Was just like, I'm obsessed with you. So when I saw you were there, I was so excited.
Oh my gosh. No, that's so cool. Yeah,
she's awesome.
Wonderful.
She's like, so great.
I'm just so helpful with everything.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Well, we can kind of go backwards then because we're already sort of talking about this. What do you think you want to do now? So maybe a podcast, maybe like you have so many options. Have you thought about anything that you're willing to share? You don't have to.
No, I mean, that's all I've been thinking about. I'm definitely going to do a podcast. I had kind of started one before the show. Excuse me. The end of last year, I was living in Venice still and living with like in a house of like 14 people. And this
Whoa.
Big house is like this big. It was a bed and breakfast. It's like a historic home in Venice. It's called the Venice Beach House.
Oh, cool.
And I don't know, 10-bedroom home or something like that. It's been there since like the 20s or something. And Charlie Chaplin used to live there. And the Abbot Kinney, who founded like Venice, I guess, used to live there. It used to be his house. And so it was a bed and breakfast for a few decades. And then the pandemic shut that down. So then they like ended up deciding to list it to rent. And at first they listed it for something crazy. And then it eventually became half something crazy, which was still crazy, but enough for like some friends of mine that wanted to like do a group kind of
like a Big Brother
situation.
House.
Yeah, I know, right? Except now I'm seeing Big Brother, but it was just kind of like a group of people together during the pandemic type of deal. Like,
yeah.
Okay, well, if we all just live together and creators. So there was like 14 people there, and it was like me and my girlfriend at the time that moved in, like we're the only people that weren't creator. Like we had normal day jobs for, and like the only two, I think. And, but just being exposed to creative people that are like making content all the time had a, they were just like, hey, we're having cool conversations. Like, what if you just record them? Because we have all the stuff. And I was like, I mean, sure. And then that kind of got my interest. And then I realized super quick, like, oh, it's not like as easy as just like recording your conversations.
Yeah.
Versus, as I'm sure you know, there's so much more from planning and productions and everything they can, the format, form, there is like a, you know, a skill set to it.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know that at the time. For sure found that challenging, especially like with my job and like the other interests at the time. So, but I had a lot of fun doing the conversations and had some of that learning curve. So now I'm like, you know what? This is something that I really enjoy, really in love connecting with, really like, yeah, just love connecting with people. So
yeah.
That's what, originally last year was just conversations with Kyland. And then this year, something more around like connecting, probably connections with Kyland is the working title right now.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So we have a lot of, I think probably 8 episodes like over the next 2 weeks.
Oh my gosh. That, you're like actually like hitting the ground
running. Yeah. One of my managers is like, has like a whole production team, and they were just like, hey, like we can do this for you. And so I just was like, yeah, I want to do it. And I want to, talking to past house guests, whether it's, you know, Derek and Cody or Elena or others, the people who are like really doing something creative or something that, some sort of content that they're passionate about, is all, has all been people that really like just hit the ground running. Exactly.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
They kind of were like, hey, I want to use this momentum and turn it into something that they love and something that is sustainable. And that's, and for me, I'm very like coachable. Like I love just to find people who are doing what I want to do at the level I want to do it at. And then just like, hey, you know, I can do, just tell them what to do and I'll do that. And I've been fortunate, like my background has jumped between different industries. So, and you know, have to learn and adapt. And so I feel like this is a new one, not just in the podcast side, but like the content creator side. And so I decided just to go for it. And that's why I've been flying. Like, I think, I don't even know how many, I've probably been on 15 flights like in the last 6 weeks since we got out of the house. And
oh my gosh.
It is, I don't even know. I haven't even counted how many states or whatever, but it's been literally like any time that there's an opportunity to hang out with the cast and like brainstorm on creative ideas from my season or from past seasons, or other people. I'm just like all about it. I mean, I was in New York, and like, I had an opportunity to connect with like Mike Boyd, who's, you know, head of music and talent, I think, for VaynerMedia. And I just like was like, yeah, like anyone that I can meet with, like I'm trying to meet and connect. And because I think that this is just such a cool opportunity to put more messaging that I'm passionate about, and that's what I'm gonna do in all the different ways.
No, that's amazing. I mean, we totally respect that kind of hustle for sure. I mean, I think that's great. And before you were on the show, you were really into like activism and other things like that. So I feel like that's a great way to like sort of dive into a new wave of doing that too, which would be really cool.
That's the plan.
Yeah, that's amazing. Oh my gosh. Okay, so, well, that's exciting. If you need help, we're here to help.
I will definitely touch base on that.
So it sounds like you had a really interesting kind of pre-Big Brother experience.
Yes.
And like kind of COVID life while we were all sort of like,
yes,
living in very much isolation. At least you had sort of like a pod of people. Did that at all inspire you to audition for the show, or were they like encouraging you to do that, or like what kind of sparked that?
No, so I had actually been a fan for a couple of years. Like my best friend had been trying to get me to watch a show for like a decade because we've been friends, and I was like, you know, I don't really watch reality TV. I'm good, man. Don't worry about it. And then finally, after, I don't know, 7-8 years or something like that, I was like, all right, fine, I'll sit down, I'll watch this season with you, like after all this begging. And what day is it? Come on. He's like, you know, 3 times a week. I was like, 3 times a week? What do you mean? Like, what? And then, so I was like, all right, I'll check it out. Saw the first episode, was hooked immediately. I was like, I don't know how I even understood as much as I did from the first episode, because when I think about how little a lot of first episodes show, but I just got it and was like, this is my favorite game in the world, and it's the best game in the world, and I need to learn everything about it. And so I just was instantly obsessed. I applied after that year. So I was season 20. That was my first live season.
Okay.
By the time like that season ended, I think I had watched maybe almost six seasons.
Wow.
Because I just went on. I was like, I need more. Like six, three episodes a week isn't enough.
Not enough?
So I wasn't like a live feeder. I didn't fully understand that, I think, yet. So I just was like watching all the episodes. And yeah. And then I ended up having, I applied when they had like the application thing. I got called in, and then I didn't get, I got called like one call. And the funny thing about that is I did something you're not allowed to do. I didn't know that at the time. I actually, I don't think I talked about this. I actually had like 30 plus friends send in an application video where they were just like, hey, you know, my name's Sarah or Kyle or whatever. And they were like, I want to apply to Big Brother. But like, honestly, you know, if you really want to have somebody good for the show, you should actually hit up my friend Kylan Young. He lives in Los Angeles. Oh, and then just hyped me. He asked me up. And so I ended up getting a call. There's this producer guy who was just like, hey, like, I'm tired of seeing these videos. Like, this Kylan, I'm tired of seeing all these videos. And then so he called me in. And then I had like one in person. I don't know. I mean, I was like, there's a lot of rounds. I did not know that.
Yeah.
So when I got that call, I was like, yes, I'm like in. And did not make it. I mean, I also wasn't single at the time, so I'd like to think that was the reason why. Because that's what I was kind of semi-told later on, like this season, like, oh, it's probably because you weren't single, or like,
interesting.
But they, which obviously isn't necessary. They have tons of people in relationships, so don't let that discourage anyone. But that, yeah. So that was insane. And then the next season was, I didn't know it was gonna be All Stars, so I never heard anything. And then the season after that ended up was ours. So
wow.
I think I digressed from questions a little bit. Oh yeah, that's so I applied.
Yeah.
So it just so happened I was living in that house at the time.
Wow.
And it was helpful living with a group of people, especially the pandemic. Like really, I was super extra isolated for a while because I like was just my ex-girlfriend. She is a nurse, and you know, shout out to like all the you know, frontline health workers still doing so much and so appreciated. And she, I'm so I just, you know, I'm seeing her. She's an ICU nurse, which is where everyone was going during COVID to die. Like people were dying every day, and she was just telling me about it and just such a strong like champion about it. And I just was like, okay, what can I do? I guess I can socially distance and stay here. And so I just was not seeing any people pretty much. And I definitely, that's when I was like, oh yeah, like, I mean, I'd say I'm like omnivert, like, you know, 70, 20, 30, but extroverted mostly, but I just was like, oh yeah, I definitely do miss seeing people.
Yeah.
And so when my friend hit me up with the opportunity, I was like, wait, like just for like, the plan was going for like a month, I ended up being like almost 6 months, and
wow,
it was, just so cool and just such a serendipitous opportunity to prepare me for living with a group of people in a house. So
totally.
That was awesome.
So, okay. You're a super fan. You would classify yourself as a super fan. I would say anyone who watches six seasons at once is definitely a super fan. I would say I'm in that category. Who were you, or were you studying certain people's games or pulling different things from people? Were you doing that at all?
Definitely.
Okay.
So I think every single season that I've watched, I knew who the final two were at the start.
Wow.
Because I knew I wanted to watch their game. Like I'm very much, like I said, coachable in business and all these things. And that's where I've succeeded, is when like following, you know, the model of the universal facts of how people work. There's so many things that you can pick up from experts. And so I would watch a season knowing like, okay, this is who I need to watch. These are the things I need to watch. And of course, not every, you know, that's why I also kind of started looking at like Final Four, because I realized like, oh, okay, cool. There can be, I think Vanessa had a really good, from 17, had a really good like, I think it was her that had an interview where she was talking about how in poker, you know, the best made it to the world, the championships every year, because luck is a factor, but like you get tons and tons and tons of hands. So it's not like you could just have 13, 14 hands and get knocked out by luck. So in her season, she got cut before too, and arguably like one of the best players in that year. And you know, no disrespect to anybody else, the game's hard. So everyone is. That was the first lesson I learned in the house. I was like, oh, this is really hard. This is the hardest thing ever. And you know, mad respect to anyone who's just set foot in the house and came out alive. But it was. So I started watching more players, and the first like big takeaway I got was you have to play your game. Like, you can't go in and model after Dan Giesling or Derek or Cody, like Vanessa or anybody, because they're them. And if you do their game, like either A, you know, people recognize it, or B, it just won't play out because you can't be someone else for in this environment. There is no environment where you are utilizing as much, at least in my opinion, like to really stay on at that level, like you are constantly paying attention to so many different things and operating your brain at such high level. And it really feels like life or death in the house, which is so weird. Because my sister was talking about how, she's telling me afterwards, she's like, it's like we're watching you guys cry. And she's like, it's just a game, relax. But like in the house, everything feels like life or death. Like it is I remember that first week when I sat there and I was first person on the block. And I have Derek King, right? It's like whether or not he's going to use the veto. And like everything says that he should. I know that. But I'm just like, well, what if he doesn't? Like, what, I'm like, strategic wise for his own game, it makes sense. And we're friends and everything's amazing. But like, what if he, like, what if I'm just, what if I have no idea what's going on? He just doesn't. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sitting there in a chair and I link back to like, you know, I've been unfortunate for a variety of reasons to have, like, you know, I was like, I've had guns pointed at me 4 times, 3 of them were by police officers. So, you know, there's greater conversations to be had there. But, this moment was scarier. Like, it was just so, like, I just felt my whole body so fearful of, like, what was going to happen. And talking to everybody in the house, that's what it felt like. And if you look at Chada's face when he's there out, he's scarred in everybody's brain as, brutal. Like, a child dying. And so that is how the game feels. And so your brain's just operating like that. So I was just studying different, trying to take away different things from different players. And I really did prepare. Like, I really was watching all the interviews that I could, all of the clips of the players talking specifically. Like, I didn't really watch a lot of clips on like commentary stuff, because one of the early interviews, they were just saying how like you just can't know what it's like inside the house, and that was what I wanted to pull in.
That's definitely something we've gotten a lot, is just from interviewing players, is some of them were like you, they were fans, they watched the Twitter feeds, they'd even make comments on Twitter of people's games.
What a mistake.
And now they're like, oh my gosh, it's just so, you don't even know, it's so different. And so that's something that's really interesting. I also think it's funny because I am someone who, if I were in your position, I would have done the same thing. I would have studied the game. I would have gone back and probably rewatched every season again and again. You know, I've already seen them 100 times. But you don't know the twists. You don't know what the different things are going to be. You don't know the dynamics of the people in the house. So it's actually really hard to prepare, because you don't know. Like, those are the things that could really change if you're going in saying, I want to play this type of game. And then the people in the house are all really cool, like your season. You can't go into a season like yours and be ruthless, because you're getting out, because everyone's too nice.
Yeah.
So no, it's like, it's kind of interesting. Were there any things that you were like, I'm going to go in and I'm going to do this, and then you met everyone and you were like, whoa, I can't do that?
I mean, well, number one, like, our season, you know, with the cookout was just so unique that it was funny. Today I had seen a clip, because somebody shared it. It was a story post from, I think, CBS or something, that was preseason interview where I just was talking about like the game I was ready to play. And like, it was just I've never saw myself as playing like a ruthless game, like very calculated for sure and strategic, but not by any means like any sort of ruthlessness. And then, but the number one thing was for sure, like, I definitely went in thinking like, okay, I'm going to do what I need to do within you know, I'm going to play the game in a way that gets me to win and that is looking after myself at the end of the day, because outside I'm such a caretaking person. I've just always been that way. And so then I go in the house and then I see the six of us and I'm like, oh, like it's the craziest thing. And so one of my like mentors, I happened to call him like the morning of, and I was like, yo, I think I might be doing this thing. Like, you know, it's not for sure, but I think so. And the morning before I got the key, and I just had a feeling, and he was just like, hey, so, okay, he's like, okay, I think I know about that. He's like, you know, what, I want to give you a piece of advice. He's like, just don't play the game. And I was like, no, Tom, like, you don't understand. Like, I get what you're, because he's very, like, all very core to me, like all loving and just everyone winning and all the time. And I was like, no, I get what you're saying, but like, this is a game. Like, it's fine. You just don't understand. Like, I got to go and I'm going to go do what I need to do to win. And then I get in the house. I'm like, oh my gosh, of course he's right. As always, like, this is different. Like, I'm going to have to do something different. And so coming in with that, for me, it was easy to flip the switch. As soon as we decided that, I was like, okay, cool. So I'm not playing a normal game. We're playing for the benefit of moving this group forward, but it was just it provided its own struggles.
No, totally. Something that I think is really interesting from you is that you were very adamant about the best making it to the end.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've talked about this and maybe you're sick of it, but I find this so interesting because as a fan of the game, if I were going to the end and I was maybe doing well, you were winning comps, you know, you were holding your own for sure, decent social game, like you would have made it to the end and it would have been like a toss up for sure. I wouldn't want to take someone who I could lose to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think a lot of people feel that way, but especially like big fans of the game, because they're like, we know how this goes. We know how jury works. If your speech sucks and you were the better player, you're not going to win. So like, it's kind of tough. Why were you so adamant about wanting the best to go to the end with you?
So I'd say that one thing is I'm super like compartmentalized. So in general, I could talk about that as a concept. Like, I think that's important and know that I have some flexibility there. If I was playing like, and I kind of started that in the beginning because I was like, oh, you know, I'm still trying. I started that in week one. I remember I had a conversation because me and Tiff were talking about it. She's like, well, you know, you said this thing and people might like remember you saying that. I was like, yeah, that was on purpose. Because, you know, I wanted strong players to feel safe around me. And I had planned on being a strong player. So then as we started getting deeper into the game, I was like, yeah, but we'll see like what's gonna happen because we still gotta get these six people to the end. And then I think right around the time we got to like nine, maybe, yeah, I'd say like around nine, like even during, when we got to, I was like, running kind of strategic like analysis, and I was like, oh, we're gonna get six to the end. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm pretty sure if we can keep doing these things and I can manage these things, like the six of us can get to the end of this game. And so then I was like, okay, so then we're gonna have this epic season of the six of us making to the end, but then what? It's like, what do we want to happen next? And I was like, well, it would be really cool if we had, you know, some of the best competitors in the game, not just competition wise, but all around wise, like who has the highest like chance of winning the game, because we also have a season where how much they followed through on these feelings and would have is up for debate. But a season where throughout the season, everyone was always saying like, oh my gosh, I know for sure. I never want to be like a bitter juror. Like, I want to get to the end and like make sure that we have like a solid, awesome winner and all these things. And I definitely was very much like, yeah, like obviously, like that's the case. You know, you kind of find out as you go, like not everyone maybe meant as much as they said it, but then it was, so when I was looking at the end, I was like, okay, cool. So let's just start there. So originally the plan was to have four of us go to the end, like just kind of in conversation about different types of contributions. And whenever I look at like the contributions of like the cookout towards the end, and now an analogy that I like is kind of like a Lord of the Rings thing, to where it's I don't want to be the person to say like, oh, you know, who did what that mattered, because I think all of it mattered. Yeah. And when I look at, you know, it's like, does Frodo or Legolas or Gandalf, like who did the thing that mattered the most? It's like, well, everybody had to play their role.
Yeah.
So that was, so I leave that as like kind of like the baseline of how I feel, you know, as a team. But for me, getting the strongest at the end was just kind of like, you know, how cool. I felt pretty close. Like, I was like, I think I have a pretty good shot getting to the end of this game. And also, I had said that same logic earlier in the season when I was like, I think that the best might be Xavier and Tiffany. And I'm going to have to get to, like, the three of us getting to the end. And I'm just going to be like, hey, let's make sure that whoever is playing the best game wins. And that's you two and not me. So I guess I'll take third and you two. Like, I was just, I'm very part of, like, my neurodivergence, like, in terms of, my brain doesn't operate the same as like neurotypical, is I can kind of get stuck in like a principle or ideal, and I'm idealistic in general. So I was like, you know what? That'd be really cool then if we have that. And hopefully I can earn my spot there. I was just like, hopefully I can earn my spot at the end and then bring somebody else with me.
I think that's funny. Yeah. Because I think if you had really tried to get Tiffany and Xavier to the end, you would have been in that final two chair if either of them had won that HOH.
So that's tricky because it's like if I kept them both, as soon as, for earlier on, Tiffany had actually said like, hey, you know what? Let's get to six and then we'll move you, me, Chada, and Xavier forward and then kind of duke it out from there and figure it out from there. And with me and her supposed to be ideally in the final two. And I was like, yeah, that sounds, like that's what I was thinking. Immediately, apparently after that, she had changed her mind, like somewhere in like week three or four. I don't know when. Mm. And I was like, oh, or early on. And so by the time we got to the end, I was like, okay, so I know that the house kind of looks at me, X, and Tiffany as like bigger threats. And I'm pretty sure I can win at six because like six is often a skills-based comp. And so I was like looking at that, I was like, I feel like I have pretty good odds. And then if I do that, as soon as I won, I was like, talking to them and I was like, all right, cool. So like, you know, the week before I had kind of realized like, I don't think there's a chance of them two working together because when Tiff won the second HOH back to back, I know that caused some tension. And I was like, well, maybe, we'll see. And once I was HOH, there was so much tension between them two that they were so eager to take shots at each other that it just was like, okay, if I move them forward and they can't get that shot at each other, their next person would just be me. And so it was like, do I want two of the best players in the game after me or do I want one of them after me? Hmm. And so I was like, I only want one of them after me. So then I was like, who's going to be the one?
Oh, but that's heartbreaking to hear because
I know.
Have you seen back the whole
yeah.
season?
Well, I've seen enough. Watched, yeah.
Enough to know that Tiffany was loyal to you.
Oh.
No. Like she would have taken you and Hannah.
So that's the thing that people, this is for everyone. It's just like, because that's something that people say a lot. And, just, and they'll be like, oh, you know, this person's loyal or whatever. It's like, I'm literally talking to this person every day. And they've told me multiple times that no, like they weren't going to do this or they were going to do this or whatever.
You think Tip would have taken a shot at you before X?
I think that, no, it's not about whether or not she would have taken a shot at me before X. It's that at that point of the game, you have votes to consider just as much as HOH. And so if she's HOH and it is, there's an opportunity for me and X on the block or something like that. Chada can take her shot at whichever person that she wants. And she had no loyalty to anyone besides Tiffany by her own, like it's not, you know, that's just where she was at. And then the same thing for Big D and the same thing for Azza. So it's just like, even there could be a scenario where Tiffany can win HOH or Xavier or whoever I'm looking at as like supportive. And it doesn't matter. They can't do anything about it because it's the votes that will decide who stays and who goes. So she's mentioned a few times that like she doesn't know where her loyalty sat between those two, between me and Chada. And just at the point of the game. And that was due to things that happened like way, way earlier down the line of the game. So it was just like there. So there were definitely scenarios where anybody could have taken a shot at me because I was a threat. So like, sure. Everyone has acknowledged
that. Do you
think
it was, at the end of the day, a good move to get you out of the house?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a good, well, that's the thing, is in any season, it's a good move to get out the threat so you can't beat. Like, that's the point of the game. And that's what how I would operate in any season. In this season, I was just like, I think it would be cool to do this. And it would be really cool to, like, sit in Final Two and win. And then have nobody be like, well, yeah, he won, but he wouldn't have won if he sat against so-and-so. Mm. So, like, that was kind of something I was like, that'd be really cool if I could do that. And at the end of the day, I was really close to doing that.
So would you say that once it got down to six, you sort of threw away the idea of the best making it to the end because you did vote out Tiffany, who was arguably the best female player?
No, absolutely. So it wasn't throwing out the idea of the best. It was literally like, okay, who are the best? Who are the top competitors in the game? And I asked her, basically asked everyone, and it came down to the three of us. And so I was like, okay, Tiffany, like, I'm in power, so I'm going to move one of us forward. Who do you think would win between you and X? And who's my biggest competition? And she's like, X. X could beat me, it could beat her, and I could probably beat X, is what she said. And I was like, I literally remember being like, I think you would be X.
Do you
like
think Tiffany? That was strategic?
It was. No, she's talked about it. No, she's talked about it now. But it just was like, in my head, it was kind of one of those two things moments. It's like, okay, either she believes that and it's true. And, you know, she's been more social with some of the people because that was kind of how we split the roles. It's like, hey, I'm going to focus on some more strategy and competition stuff and you focus on social stuff. And so it was kind of like, either that's true and X will beat her, or it's not true, and she should know not to lie to me about that because I've already told her so many times, like, hey, I'm fine bringing you forward even if you're going to beat me. And she was like, no, like, she said that basically we would both beat her. And so I was like, in my head, just so much like, okay, I guess I've already told you since week one that, like, I'm fine bringing forward strong people even if I might lose to them, even if they might be coming after me. And she was thinking that I was just like everyone else, and that if she told me, like, hey, I'm gonna beat you if we go, that I would wanna get rid of her. And I'm like, wow. I've told you, I've never wavered on this viewpoint of losing to somebody that is better to me. I've never wavered on that. And so that was kind of the heartbreaking part of it, was just like, it is, so in that moment, it just was like, okay, so I guess I'm going to bring X, like, forward because you're telling me that we could both beat
you. Did you regret that at all when you got evicted and it was at their hand, or did you think this would have been either way, I would have been out at this point?
So I'd say, like, for me, like, it's very challenging for me to talk about regret because I'm such, like, an observer of, like the butterfly effect, for example. So, you know, if I'm sitting 5 years from now with 2-3 kids and my wife and I'm happy, I'm not gonna be like, oh gosh, I wish that wasn't happening. So that, and it wouldn't potentially if something significant went differently in my life. So I always have trouble, like, answering a question about, like, regret or anything as far as, like, but would I have loved to have moved forward with arguably the best, one of the best players to ever play the game being Tiffany? Yeah, absolutely. In the house, we're just so disconnected. And that was the other thing, is because somebody had asked me about, well, like, how come you didn't know that Tiffany was, like, as good as she was? And I was like, no, I knew she was good, but the reason why, funny enough, was that in the game earlier, like, I was like, she's incredible, and I'm thinking all these things. And then we get to these points where, like, Claire, you know, with the veto stuff, like, is having trouble, like, I'm having trouble building trust with Claire. I'm like, this is Tiffany's number one person. She can't convince Claire to trust me. Or, like, how come DX talked to, like, Tiffany and, like, is kind of feeling doubts about me? Or how come Chad is so, I'm like, in my head, I'm like, how, I guess Tiffany's not as good as I thought, because, like, I'm always able to help convince them to trust Tiffany. Like, why can't she convince them? I guess she's just not as good as I thought. Afterwards, I found out she was just playing so intense of a game that she was actively building wedges of distrust into Claire, into DX, into all these people. And I was like, oh, so she just was actively trying to do the opposite thing. So, like, in that moment, I was like, you know what? I guess she's not that good because she can't even convince Claire and DX and Chada to like trust me more. So yeah, I guess I was wrong in thinking at that level.
Yeah, no, it's so interesting because you do kind of, I mean, we get the advantage of seeing the whole, we get all the sides, we see everything that's happening, and you only see what you're seeing. And so that was something that I did notice, because there was sort of this weird, I haven't seen really an alliance ever do this at the end where they're like, okay, what did everybody do to get us here? And so it was funny because I'm like, oh, isn't it so obvious? Like, hello, you did this and you did this. And because we can see all of that, but you all are like sitting there like, we don't know, like, who actually is the one who convinced so-and-so to do this and make that move? Because you don't really like, you know the conversations you had, but you don't know the other conversations. And so it's actually really funny, kind of even just watching like multiple people take credit for like the beginning of the cookout or whatever, and you're like, well, what was the first conversation? You don't know, because you just remember your first conversation. And so it's kind of funny to see all of that happen, and like it's just like everyone's scattering around like, wait a minute, what was the first conversation? Who started that? Who did that? Like, and then we're all like, well, hello, we know, like, we've timelines written, and when you get out you can read all about it or whatever, but you don't see everything. And
yeah, so it's a weird, there's such an interesting feedback loop when you get out of the house, because also when you're in the house, it's like you have the limited view of conversations, then you also have such an intimate relationship with these people and these conversations. And so you're like, I'd say that when we got to the end there, there was definitely some conversations around that. But for the most part, we had a pretty decent view on a lot of things, I'd say. But then coming out of the house, you kind of, that's the weird part, is this, the feedback of the timelines of like, all of people send me a video. It's like, well, what about when somebody said this or you said this? It's like, yeah, I was lying. Like, of course this is said or this is done or whatever. It's just like, yeah, that isn't. I had somebody, you know, it's also weird because you have the different, somebody could easily miss like one piece of something and just have a completely altered view. Like, I don't know about this until I got out of the house, but it's just like, I have a whole bunch of people that have just, that still are very much like, oh, well, you know, you won this game to save Sarah Beth, and you took it from Tiffany. And I was like, no, I literally tried to throw this game to Tiffany, and then she just hit the wrong button. But by the time that was known, because the feeds cut during the game, I learned about this all after, but it's like the feeds cut during the game. So then they just come back on, and they see people talking about, like, here's what happened, here's, and then it takes an hour for somebody to have a clear conversation where Tiffany's like, oh, no, like, he did do what he said he was going to do with me. It just didn't work out. But by then, you have 100,000 people that have already gone down this other hole, and they're just like, that's where they are, and that's where they live forever.
Forever. No, it is really interesting. And you didn't really have much of a chance to, like, you didn't go to the jury house. You didn't get that kind of time to, like, I guess, decompress and maybe, like, air out some things before the show ended. Was that weird, like, finale night, everything's done, Xavier wins, the show cuts. Was it kind of, like, awkward? Or, like, what happened next?
It was... I think for sure you can't, coming out of the house, especially like once the show finale night happens and we're hanging out that night and we're hanging out the next day, because we have some press and we have some, you know, we're grabbing lunch because everyone's still in town. And then we end up staying together in Airbnb for like a week, the weekend. And I could definitely see like, oh, the Jury House crowd has a relationship that is very different. I think that's a lot of why like, Oz and Big D went back home so soon, because they also came out of the house and they didn't have even any time out of the house. It just was the finale night and then the world. So I had a couple of days, I think like 4 days inside of this hotel at least. So I wasn't decompressing with people, but like I was decompressing on my own. I wasn't on anymore at that level I was on. So that, it is weird. It's all weird. And also, the house itself is extremely, the game, the house, it's a traumatic experience. And that's a word I use without exaggeration. It's the fortunate side is having been a person that did like therapy and stuff in my personal life prior to the show, I was able to kind of observe that and realize that like as it was happening, to where I remember we'd have conversations with people and I'd be like, oh no, guys, like, well, kind of messed up from this. And they're just like, no, like what? No, I'll be fine. I'm like, all right, no, okay, I guess we'll see. And now I get out and it's just, it is, I think that's why there's that kinship, not just with ourselves, but with past house guests. Cause it's like,
yeah,
even if the thing that they know is that like no one else knows, that's what they know. They're
that
just like
shared experience.
We know we have the shared experience. And then on top of that, they also know they're like, hey, I know that like you had this crazy experience. I can relate to you. And I know that my own relation to you is going to be limited. And like that alone is such a strong act of like loving connection, because it's better than having, you know, someone's like, hey, like I know everything you went through because I watched it on the feed. It's like, but you don't.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, it's kind of like you guys are in prison. It's like, yeah, the prisoners get visits from their family. So no, obviously prison's much worse a million ways.
You get to watch TV.
Unless you're in the fancy ones where they play tennis, like Wolf of Wall Street, then that doesn't look as bad. I don't
know.
Those
are real.
I don't know.
Those are real prisons.
That looks not as bad. But in general, I know it's much worse. That was a joke comparison, remember.
Yes. We will leave that in. The disclaimer.
The disclaimer. Thank you.
No, that makes sense. And I do think it's interesting. I liked, and I still like, seeing you all sort of like hanging out and doing things, because I think it's very cathartic for even fans to kind of get over their, oh, you hurt my favorite person and now I hate you. And it's really interesting. I didn't realize, I guess, until this year, that the Big Brother fandom is like truly psychotic. Oh. And I'm part of it, I suppose. But like, it really is nice, I think, for them and us and, you know, me, us fans, whomever, to kind of see you all like mending those bridges and hanging out and being like, look, this was a TV show. It was a game.
Yeah.
Things were said. Maybe things got a little personal, but we're moving on with our lives and so should you. And I think that has been really something that we haven't seen in other seasons. And so I think that has been really nice to see. And I don't know if maybe you're feeling that way, or maybe there's still things that you feel like need to be resolved, but it seems like you've sort of mended the things that needed mended.
Yeah. I'm going to take off this jacket real quick. Just
getting a little warm.
I know, right? Yeah.
That's okay. We're not live, right?
Yeah, I know. That was whole life. And time in there is so weird.
Kylan, please put on your microphone.
Yeah. That part and other parts on the phone. Okay. So that's a feedback that we've gotten a lot as far as the connection post show, because there's been I've never seen, nobody's ever seen a cast like this that has stayed connected. I honestly can't even tell you how it's happening this way. I don't know why. We just built this bond in the house that has transcended the game. You know, I know for us in the cookout, like, it was very much because we all were part of this mission and our mission was successful. So that to me made sense. The rest of us, I'm just so glad that it is, because that's the one thing I remember as a fan. Like, I would watch people for sure hanging out, and I'd see some people hang out that, oh, that's surprising. But then I'd see lots of people not hang out. I'm like, not surprising. It makes sense that they would never talk to each other again.
Yeah.
But you're in the house and you're just like, oh, like Travis said it in his finale speech, like, you can fall in love with 16 people at once. And like, it's so real. And there's no other experience in the world where you are getting intimately close to people. You're finding out everything about them and their family and their life. Like, and then your actual goal is to end their dream, end one of their dreams.
Yeah.
And it is. I was like, where else do you have this opportunity? Like, I shouldn't call it opportunity. Where else does this happen? I was like, okay, maybe as a judge. But I was like, even as a judge, that's not your goal. This is our goal. Our goal is to get close to you and then end your dream. That cuts deep in people. And so it makes sense. But we were fortunate that everyone was able to kind of at least draw that. I honestly think that having the mission of the cookout not just happen, but be successful probably played a role because it added perspective.
Yeah.
I think for everyone, it's like, oh, wait, this is a game and there are things more important. But then beyond that, we just had amazing people, 16 amazing people. And I truly love all 15 other people who are not me. And I am just so glad that we've been able to do this because it has, when you're, it kind of is like MMA or something. You know, you get in the ring, you like kick each other in the face and whatever, but you get out and it's like, well, I'm not going to hit you now because that doesn't make any sense. And I think everyone kind of, for the most part, took that view. There is, for sure, I can see different people at different stages over time that had to like kind of process some things or like have conversations for closure or whatever. And but everyone's just been so good about wanting to do that and thinking that's worthwhile, and that's been great.
Do you think this year I noticed, and we had a couple people who maybe didn't know anything about the game, Derek X, who admittedly had never seen a season until he started applying for the show. But there were so many super fans.
Yep.
And I think that maybe helps because some years, you know, people are like pulled in a modeling casting call or something to be on this show. But when you kind of go in knowing the game and knowing that it is a game, maybe you leave and you're a little bit less burned by everything because you did love the game. You went in loving the game. And then you leave and you're like, okay, that was that. And now I'm moving on to my real life. And maybe that had something to do with it.
I'm sure it does. Jesse, the casting director, he was, we had dinner with him. And we were just like, very fortunately to get to connect with him afterwards. And he was just saying like, yeah, this was the most competitive season I've ever cast. I've never casted this many super fans before in a season to where like almost everyone was a fan. Everyone was some sort of threat in multiple ways. And, or in some way at least. And that was I think that played such a huge role because you had so many people that could see as a game and be strategic and just, that love the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Okay. So if you could go back, would you?
Oh, in a second. I mean, yeah. I was like in the house. I was like, if we get out of the house and I could spend a weekend at seeing my family and then go back.
Go
in, like,
right
it's
back
just so,
in.
It's so much fun. And it is, like I said, it is with no exaggeration, traumatizing. It's the hardest thing in the world. It's hard mentally, physically, psychologically, or I guess it's more mentally, but emotionally. And it is one of those things where like, if somebody has like, if I've definitely talked to people like, you know, I don't know, like I think I can do it, but I don't know, it might be hard. I was like, then don't do it because it's going to be 100 times harder than you think it is. And it's going to, I think the description online says something about like a social experiment. Like it's very much experimental in so many different ways. Like they are putting you through so many different things. Like you're waking up in the middle of the night to being called into the diary room or whatever. And it is, and sometimes it's like, just when you're pulling on the covers, you're like, all right, I'm going to bed now. And
they
pull them up and they're like, all right, Kylan, play some diary room. You're like, I knew it. Sometimes I did that. Sometimes I was like, I'm not even ready to go to bed, but like, I just want to get this over with. I'm going to go lay down because I know that the second I like snuggle up, they're going to call me. So
that's awesome.
It just is so much fun. Like I just love every bit of it. And also it's kind of, you know, the fact that we had a season where we had to we chose to focus on, non-individual games and each of us to varying degrees had the opportunities to do that. And like I had a lot of opportunities to not do that. And all of us maintained it to the end and played our role and made the moves that we made. And that was, you know, there's a conversation with Chada like in day 9 or something when I was like, hey, like I'm gonna make moves to move us forward in a way that in a way that will probably paint a target on my back to keep it off of the rest of you. And if that happens and I find myself on the block and you guys can't save me without exposing me, let me go home. Because that's, first of all, just the type of person I am. And then, but I was like, but I'm going to do that. That's how I want to play, because I want to do whatever it takes to move us forward. And I don't mind taking the brunt of that, of playing whatever role I need to play. If I need to be a villain at a time, like, you know, Sinead and Brittany, working with SV Sinome DX, like, those were like my heartbreak. Oh my gosh. Like, I was like, that's why me and Tiff were fighting that day with DX, because I'm in my head, I'm just like, I love him more than you do, Tiffany. Like, I don't want to argue to send him home, but now we're arguing. Like, I just like, I love him so much. Don't. So it just was to make, I knew I was going to make these moves to move us forward. So it's like to play the game again and to, you know, be able to work the individual role angle. Like,
yeah.
Is exciting.
You would get a new chance. Yeah. That's really interesting. Would you rather go in an all-star season or go in like next year with all new picks?
Oh my gosh. So I'd rather go in an all-star season, 'cause I'm competitive. And I want to play with all-stars. I don't know how they could do that since they just did the all-stars. So that's my concern, is that like,
it could be who a
they
bring. Years, yeah.
Yeah, it might take a few years. So, but I love it and I want to play as soon as possible. So I would definitely play if they were like next year with
do you think
me and
you,
15 people.
I mean, what would you do? Because you would have, if I were in the house as a new person, I'd be like, get Kylan out right now, because he's going to, if he makes it to jury, he's winning this game. What would you do? What would your strategy be to keep that off of your back?
I mean, if I was like, I mean, they've only had that one time with Paul 19 where they brought one returner back only by themselves. So like, if they did that same thing, I think that you also saw that the game is so overwhelming that when you're in there, it made sense very quickly how we're like, oh, after like 1 week, you're like, okay, it made sense why returners have, why season 18 had, you know, four returners and two of them were in the final three. Yeah. Like, that made sense, because it was like, that is such an advantage.
You
kind of
lean on them.
You kind of do want to lean on them. You do want to. So I think that regardless of how many people are in there, when you're in the game, you can do that. And also I like building relationships, and that's a big part of the game. That I didn't even do as much this game. I did a couple of relationships, but I was kind of like more focused on like the six moving forward. And so I kind of pushed some of that to the side, because I was like, let me reprioritize here. And so being able to do more of that and build and focus on relationship building more, I think would be, I think I can find my way.
Yeah. How's your relationship with Sarah Beth?
Oh, it's great. So that was so intense. Afterwards, I didn't know, obviously. I mean, I knew it was funny, because that was one thing I kept telling them in the house. I was like, Sarah's not going to be cool with this. Like, like, if people were counting votes in their account, like, until Tiffany went into the house and like kind of reminded her, like, hey, remember, you don't want to be bitter. Like, that was I was like, that was not going to be a vote. And I never intended for Tiffany to be in the jury house. So like, I will always tell them, I was like, you guys think I have a fair best vote? I do not in any scenario. And they're like, no. And I was like, no, I know, or I promise you. But I didn't know the extent. I didn't understand the full reasoning why. I thought it was going to have to do with like, okay, like, you weren't really my final two. And then I found out it was so much more about the personal connection that was built, and kind of the belief that, oh, all of that was built on like a false pretense, so you don't really care, being able to separate. So like, in the house of the duos, of the, you know, five of us at a duo, we were the closest, and that's why it just cut the deepest. It was like, wait, like, if anybody's close, it'd be you two. And it just is like, yeah, and that's why it hurt so much.
Yeah,
and that's why it hurt me too. I'm a very, like I said, I'm compartmentalized, and like, I'm learning more about like my own like neurodivergence since I've been out of the house, but I always knew to some degree, like, that's how I've always been. But it was, so I came out of the house and we were talking, and, you know, we had to have a conversation, and I didn't know exactly where it was going to go. And she was just like, yeah, I thought that, I was like, why did you, some things that you did felt unnecessary as far as getting close. And I was like, oh, I get. That's if you're thinking like, I'm getting this close as strategy. Like, I was getting close for strategic reasons, but I was also getting close because I like her as a person. I was like, I think there's a real friendship, and I like you, and I want to spend time with you as a person. And that was the gap that she just didn't know. She was just like, wait, why would you bond to this level? And I was like, oh, yeah, because I actually liked you as a person. And she's like, once we had that gap kind of cleared, it was like, oh, okay. Like, and I was like, yeah, and you could look at something and say you thought it was unnecessary. And I'm just like, yeah, like all personal relationships could be unnecessary to a degree. Sure. But it's just like, no, it just was, I like spending time being close to friends who I like to spend time with. And yeah. So it was just such an obvious but like easily overlooked answer, because it was like, okay, if this is a lie, then everything must be a lie. So it'd be a lie. Like, no, that's not the case.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Does she still call you Kyle?
I believe that we, not in person. I was like, I don't know if we're allowed to say that actually. So let's, that seems to be a thing that her people like. So I would say, okay, does she still call me Kyle? I believe she does. That's actually not okay. So for anybody, just so you know, that is the bane of my existence and the biggest dagger now in our relationship is that. But aside from that, everything's great.
Wonderful. That's great news. That is.
We're working back letter by letter, though. So, like, I think that recently, like, I did enough to drop the E.
Okay.
And then I'm, like, almost got the A back. And we're working letter by letter.
Okay. Well, let us know how that goes.
That's
amazing. My maybe not last question, but we're getting there. A question that is burning in people's brains, which Ooh. Is probably going to be the reason why they listen to this, which is maybe why I left it for the end. Thailand.
What about Thailand?
I don't know. Tell us.
Tell you what?
What's the tea?
I mean, I don't know what tea there would be.
You went to visit?
Yeah, definitely. We all applying lots of places to see everyone, yeah. See lots of people.
Totally.
Yeah.
And you had a great time.
Amazing
time. I'm putting words in your mouth, but you can say if they're not true.
Amazing time. Yeah. No, I mean, honestly... Tiffany and I have such a strong, special, like, relationship that I think will always, that will always be that way. I think it'll always be strong. I think it'll always be special. She, I think so highly of her in so many ways. Yeah, and I just can't get, I love everyone from the cast, but like me and Tiffany just, we have this connection that makes us want to, wanna not just spend time together, but we'll, like wanna keep doing amazing things. Like, if maybe that can be another show, or maybe that could just
be. Is that
be,
an Easter egg for the Amazing Race?
I'd love to, we'll talk about it. We'll see if we can. We'll see what happens. But that would be fun if we'd have to get on the same page on trust and some other things. But well, she's not colluding with other people. It'll be fine. But but regardless, no. I think we've been working together because she's launching a podcast and figuring out like social and figuring out all these things, and so. Right now, she's just one of my closest friends and relationships in the world, and I just love and appreciate her in so many ways. And she's the best. And I say that also. She's probably going back to the earlier conversation around the cast. Like, I think that her, as much as now, like I'm sad that she was ever in Jerry House, but it's like her being there, like, allowed so many connections to be made that I think honestly are a big reason as to why. All of us are close now.
She's like the glue. Really,
I think a strong, like, yeah, a strong central role there for sure. I think that means so much to all of us too, because then all of our other relationships are able to say, to build on.
That's amazing. Well, speaking of her kind of being the glue, she was maybe the reason that you all were living at Todrick's house.
Well, Todrick, first off, all whole credit to Todrick, very generous, very kind, amazing person. He's literally, it just was one of those things that, like, he's a super fan of the show. Because of COVID, they weren't going to have any sort of, like, party for us on finale night. And he's like, hey, I know some BB people. Like, you guys should just come over here. Me, Tiff, and DX had, like, didn't even know who he was. We'd never heard of him. We were just like, somebody said we could come over for, like, a party. Cool, we'll go. And there'll be BB people there, and we're such huge fans of Big Brother. So, like, that was our first real surreal experience talking to other fans, or other past alum, because we're talking to them and they're talking to us and we're like, oh my God, this is so crazy. They're like, oh my God, this is so crazy. It's like, what do you mean this is so crazy? It's like, wait, what's happening? That like finale night, the first call that I got from alum was actually FaceTime from Derek and Cody while we were at that party. That was like, from a game player side, they are my favorite. And so I just was like, that was wild. That was insane. So being at Todrick's, we hung out, we were talking to him, and I think that honestly it just helped. I think it helped a lot, the fact that that we weren't as familiar with his work. So then we were able just to hang out as like people with him, and he's just such a nice, kind like fan, and we're fans of the show. So we just geeked out about the show, and then he had like mentioned kind of in passing, we're like, oh yeah, we don't know what we're gonna do, but we know we want to stay in LA. And he had mentioned in passing, and Tiffany hit him up, which was like, hey, like, are you serious? Because we'll come. And he's like, yeah. And like, and then of course, like everyone, he just is obsessed and loves Tiffany. And so, and then all of us just got to get close. And he literally just taught us so many lessons about entertainment, like the world and navigating, and about people, and about not worrying as much about the judgment and everything. So he's just so, that was the halfway house that we needed for sure. Yeah. Coming out. It made such a difference just to like stay together a little bit longer and slowly get exposed to the world. So it's something for, you know, Tiffany, Todrick, like our group, like just so thankful for.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. So that kind of leads into my next question. You have a controversial tweet that personally offends me, Kylan.
Okay. Let's about skip this out here.
My good friend and Todrick's good friend,
yes,
Taylor Swift.
Yes.
Has he helped you see the light? How yes. are you now?
So
are you feeling okay?
You know, so the thing about getting on like any sort of public eye, public attention, is so fascinating, because I think I did share it. I think I added it to the tweet. You just say stuff like on Twitter, because you're just like, hey, I'm just saying stuff. I met some very biased people
for One Direction. I am never famous because of the things I've tweeted about people.
It was like, so whether it was past cast, like I've had so many things, like I'm hanging out with the cast and they're like, you know, he said this. And I'm like, immediately in week one, first off, I was like, in week one, we had a whole conversation about how we are sorry to every negative thing we said to every cast. This is 1,000 times harder than we thought. We take it back forever. And then on the other, you know, just on celebrities and everything, it's like, that was a tweet, because I was like, oh, I met some people, they said something, I met some other people, and Todd was like, so basically you're just saying something, like, you know what you're talking about. I was like, yes, exactly. And he's like, no, but he's like, that's how I operate now, is you gotta meet people yourself, because he's been in, you know, a public eye on such an exponentially higher level. It's where everything that he does is examined under a microscope, like similar to like the house, but even by more people. And he was saying how, you know, I saw, like, I read things, I read this tweet, I read other things about you, but I'm like, I don't know him. Let me meet him. Let me find out. And then he met me and we clicked and everything. So it was really cool. And that was like such a firsthand lesson for me. Like, oh, and it's crazier too, as I was saying how, I think I added it to the tweet, because I didn't want to delete it, because I was like, I literally was like, what do you do in this scenario? Do you delete it? Do you leave it? And he's like, no, honestly, ignore
it.
It is there. Yeah. And so, but then I did add one response, because last year, I was super appreciative of Taylor, because she had posted, she's with a lot of support around, you know, removing Confederate statues in her home state. And I was like, you know what? I was wrong. I like had this whole post about like, I was wrong about Taylor Swift. She's pretty great, I guess. I see all this LGBT support that she's doing. Like, I didn't know about any of this. And these other people I was talking to is biased. Like, I didn't know about this. That was last year. But nowhere in my mind as a normal person that I think, you know, let me review all of my social media, totally. See if I've ever said anything negative about Taylor before I said this changing opinion, and make sure I take that down from the internet, or like write a formal retraction. Like, that didn't cross my mind.
Of course.
And
not.
So now, you know, there's a lot of, as somebody who already I thought I spoke, you know, decently carefully, I was like, whoa, the response there. So tell you, I already told Todrick, but if you see her before he does, then be sure to let her know that I'm sorry and I was wrong, and I'm looking forward to meet her myself.
Oh, for sure.
So I can let her know.
No, I love that. I think that's very funny. I thought it was funny because of all the people that you were staying with, it was Todrick Hall,
who
was
best. He told yes.
So it was like the irony there was just so funny. I guess it's also funny too, because I'm watching you on TV and I'm also on Twitter and I'm watching Kyren sort of
Kai complains
just bubble up out of nowhere.
The
you had been on the show for at least a month and a half before anyone had, whoever the first person to do this was, is I don't know what, how they had all this time to just scroll and scroll and scroll, but they started to find these tweets.
Yes.
Where you like to basically use Twitter as a Yelp or a TripAdvisor.
Yes.
Or
yes. Just to, well, okay.
You're just giving the world your feedback and also tagging the.
Yes. So I would, so on this, by the way, and for me, it just comes down to, I had a small tech company back in the day that we used to help small businesses. And my grandfather owned a small business or built a small business. So like, I'm very aware of a lot of social issues and public issues. So it's like, if you call in someplace, they're going to get somebody who's probably getting paid minimum wage or something ridiculous in trouble. So it's never made sense to me to like harass a small business. But like a big giant corporation with billions of dollars on Twitter, if I have a grievance, I can talk to them. And then if they're like, hey, like, you know, where was this at? I'm like, don't worry about it. The point is I had a problem with you guys. And so for me, it's just kind of like my own little dig at like the massive, like, you know, multi-billion dollar conglomerates of just like, hey, I have a problem. I just wanted to let you guys know that. And occasionally they hit me back, they help solve the problem, they give me some free stuff. That doesn't hurt too. So I guess the only reason I call out is because if anybody, as you're looking for like, you know, free stuff or whatever, or a complaint, I do like to add in the very important disclaimer of like, hey, I think it's okay to do that at a corporate level. I think that don't ask for a manager to complain about an individual employee who's getting paid much too little for a job that's probably harder than yours. Like, don't do that. But if you want to go on Twitter and then just hit up these guys and, you know, I'm sorry to the social media managers, but at least you guys, you know, aren't going to get fired for the tweet. So
that's hilarious.
For me, it's just fun.
No, totally.
And I was able to turn into, you know, the little bit of the Kai compliments, share some love for some of the fans and also some other castmates.
Yeah.
I want to do more of that.
I love that. And I mean, you are such a good person to sort of take kind of the negative. You had a mixed reviews. They weren't all negative, which is good to leave the house.
No,
you have kind of a mixed bag.
Yeah.
But you took the things that maybe weren't as good and you were like, ha ha, I'm going to laugh with you. And I'm going to make it something else. And I think that's amazing. And I think cast members for years to come will hopefully use that strategy in the future and be like, yeah, you guys didn't like this one thing I said. Well, haha, let's make it this really great thing and turn it into something else. So kudos to you.
Thank you.
That is pretty freaking cool. And I think it's very funny. My last, we'll end on, well, two questions. Second to last question is, did you ever decide what airline you want to have a credit card with?
You know, I'm still debating. Still actually working. One of my managers is working on some conversations too. So I'm like, hey, you know what? I can definitely be incentivized.
Totally.
Additionally, in addition to these points. So kind of waiting on that a little bit to flush out. So that's, we'll see. I've been flying a lot, so I've been trying out different airlines, and I'm like, you know, I have my favorites, and hopefully those are the ones that respond, so we'll see.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we'll be waiting to see what you decide. So we kind of talked about this in the beginning, so kind of full circle. This is always kind of what I end on, is like, what's next for you? So we know you're working on a podcast, but like, you were an account executive before you came into the house. You quit that job to be on Big Brother.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah. So right now, like this week, what are you working on? What are you gonna, like, you're still working on, you've done a few episodes of this podcast that we'll get hopefully soon.
No, we'll get it soon. Yeah, we have, yeah, so we're just on scheduling. The other side honestly is like content, as far as social media, whether that's, you know, YouTube. Like, I know DX has started this vlog that is super funny and so much on brand for him. Like, that's not like, I'm not that funny. I can't do stuff like that. But I am, there are things that are important that I want to talk about. So it's like, working on that, and then working on like, okay, what's the schedule that I can keep up with some sort of consistency? Because I know how important consistency is. And so that will be coming, like, oh, might be like a monthly thing. Started working on that with some friends, my buddies, Justin, Keanu. And then also looking at regular social media content. So we started talking to like some modeling agencies about maybe figuring out some stuff there. Started talking to started getting like, you know, managers and booking agents and stuff for other, just learning that flow. Like it's so weird because I worked at a marketing agency for a while. So social media was a lot of stuff that we did for brands and for companies. Excuse me. Not for myself and turning myself, especially as like a lifestyle potentially sort of brand.
Yeah.
And so that's just a learning curve. That's a weird learning curve because it's like, wait, what are the things that I want to talk about like on my social that's separate from the podcast? And then like, what's the ratio? How often should I be posting? How much should I be doing this? And it's such a learning curve for me because like Brittany does these amazing like reels of dancing and stuff. She's been doing that for a long time. So the TikToks. And she, when we were together in Florida, she like did a recap of the day and I watched her do it in like 10 minutes. And I was like, whoa, I'm trying to put together like a collage of pictures. And I've been working on it since Florida for like days, for like weeks now. So I'm just like, okay, the fact that there's a learning curve here. And I realized that. And then I don't know. And then we'll see if there's other, like I said, number one for me, as far as like shows, like Big Brother, I'd love, I want to do more of that. There's been a lot of conversations now, both on the fan side and like other conversations about like looking at other shows. And I like competing in shows. And so, if the right thing came and it made sense, like that's something else I may want to look at and we'll see.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, that's amazing. So basically to summarize that, it's watch this space and see.
We'll be watching and waiting. There we go.
Well, that's really exciting. Well, thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, no, thank you. I know.
So fun. It was worth the wait for sure.
Thank you.
So fun. And yeah, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate the time and really excited for everything you've been doing. Glad you've been getting to talk so much with the cast.
It's been amazing. Thank you.
On the Block is a production of Yes Studios.
Our music is by Harrison Amer. Our executive producer and host is Madison McGee.
Our producer and co-host is AJ Christensen. And our associate producer is Emily Jacques.